Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Williams, and to my left,
I'm Usad. You can find me on Twitter at UsadNBA.
I am Will. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Bias Houston.
I'm Isaiah, and you can find me on Twitter at GG Supremacy.
And you can find him.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even shout my Twitter.
Willems, W-I-L-L-L.
I've been told I was the fake Will. I gotta not say Will anymore. Leave me at suggestions down below. I guess I'll cave and then.
But today we are doing the second part of the Eastern Conference.
The Eastern Conference.
Yeah, okay.
And we're gonna be doing.
Direct the hate that way, man.
8 through 15.
Yes. No, we did.
No, it's 8 through 15.
Yeah, 8 through 15.
We stopped at 7 last time.
Yeah, we did top 8 of these.
No, it was so the thing with that is the Miami ended up getting the A seed even though they had the 10th best record.
That's what's confusing.
So the Hawks had the A seed, but they missed the playoffs.
They missed the plan. So we're starting with the Hawks today.
Yes.
And I guess we can just get right into it.
Very busy offseason.
Yeah. Great offseason, actually.
40-42 last year, which is pretty mid, but good for the 8th seed in the East. Which is hilarious because in the West, it was 48 wins.
They might spit on you.
Notable additions, they drafted Asan Newell at 23rd. As we talked about, they acquired that lottery pick from the Pelicans.
Yes.
Which is very, I think, going to be a very good lottery pick.
Because I don't think you got to think.
So they traded the 13th overall pick, which ended up being Derek Queen for the Pelicans, and in return got the 23rd pick, which ended up being Asan Newell, who I think that they would have been happy taking at 13.
I want to say that was confirmed. They were considering taking that high.
Like, they would have took him at 13, and they also acquired a unprotected first-round pick that can be best swap of either the Pelicans
or the Milwaukee Bucks. I ain't gonna think about this. It just, like, it gets worse and worse.
It's just, it's really good
It's like, bro, why couldn't this happen to us, bro?
We got the Suns pick.
We got the Nets pick.
Yeah,
but it's more so. We got Reed Shepard. This is such a highway robbery,
We got lucky that a pick jumped to top 3 in draft.
Yeah, like, good God, man.
So we could be the Pistons.
Yeah. I was gonna say
we could.
We're being greedy, bro. Like, we had our pick jump. We had our pick jump like 4 years in a row.
I was gonna say.
I need more on me. Hey, was I not cooking?
4-11.
Was I not cooking?
No, we shipped half of them out.
We just traded. Like, yeah.
I mean, we got more picks.
The other picks getting drafted, bro. We still don't have a
Anyways, they made a really, really good draft night trade. Got Asan Newell. They traded for Porzingis.
Yes.
Sneaky good pick.
Hopefully he's cured. they signed Nikhil Alexander Walker. Former Rocket legend in Fale Dante.
Yeah.
Fale, man.
Luke Kennard from the Grizzlies.
Which I think sneaky underrated pickup.
Luke Kennard, sneaky good pickup.
Especially
they lost Luke Capella. He's on the Rockets
now. Did you say Alexander Walker?
Yeah, Nikhil Alexander Walker. They lost Caris LeVert, also weirdly a Rockets legend. An infamous legend. We were told we screwed up our rebuild forever because we didn't get him. Then Larry Nance Jr., who's famous for dunking on LeBron one time.
Guys traded Georges Niang away. Who your favorite UPS driver? Terrence Mann
got off that nasty contract.
Terrence Mann also traded away. Kobe Bufkin.
Shout out at RH Holt on Twitter. Yes, his draft crush, Kobe Bufkin, man.
Who was one of their first round picks, and it just kind of didn't.
2023?
Yeah.
23, yeah. Just didn't work out.
Yeah, they have a lot of them at that position group. Yeah. So.
Yeah, ended up. He's in Brooklyn now, which, I mean.
We'll talk about them later.
I think Atlanta killed the offseason.
Oh, murdered it.
I think they have. We talked about it before, but I think they've done two things in one fell swoop. They have given Trae Young the best chance I think he's had of a team around him that can insulate him, but also be good with him off the floor, which is something I don't think that they've been able to do. They will be able to throw lineups out of him, Dyson, Reese Shea, Jalen Johnson, Porzingis. Like, they can throw a legitimate, nice starting five out.
Yeah, you can go full wing
team. I don't love Onyeka Okongwu. Shout out my USC Trojans, but he hadn't been the best. But if he's your backup center, I think that's good value, backup center.
I think the 1-2 punch of him and Porzingis.
I think they could do some interesting double big stuff there.
I think the more important thing, though, is, and no diss to Trae Young, but they kind of trait-proofed their future now.
Yeah, they did.
Their future is no longer dependent on Trae Young, because I'm going to call my shot now. They're going to have a shot at one of Darren Peterson.
They're going to have a top five pick Jordan, bro.
From the Pelicans.
And at worst, it's going to be a guy for my draft nerds out there, a guy like Mikael Brown or Jaden Quinn. It's another guy who, if you know the draft, that these are like man, in other drafts, he'd go top four, top five. Yeah. But it just so happens this year.
Next year's draft is kind of stacked at the top.
It's just that top three, it looks like God's chosen people are on the top three. Shout out my GCP brethren as well. So you've gotten, I think, an excellent offseason out the way. You have both Trey-proofed your future, but also given Trae Young everything he needs to kind of prove to you, I don't need to Trey-proof my future. So shout out to the Hawks. They did
We don't got a sugarcoat it, man. That Pelicans team, that's going to be a bottom, I mean, comfortably bottom three team in the league. So, I mean, at worst, that pick is seven.
Skinny Zion, maybe. Maybe
seven. At worst, that pick is seven. So,
but, I mean. I refer to this team, I think, mentally in my head as like the Trae Young prove it year. This is.
Yeah, for sure.
If you were building a team from scratch, damn near perfectly to complement Trae Young, this is kind of what you would do.
It looks a little bit like it.
Yeah, it looks like at least archetypical.
Yeah, I think the only thing they're missing is like a shot creating star wing.
Yeah.
But other than that, like this is what you want. You want a bunch of large guys.
You want a bunch of wings. You want two different kinds of centers that can both catch lobs. It's just.
And can play together.
Yeah. Like, and can play together at times. Like, a lot of size surrounding a guy as small as Trae Young, which I think is really important.
In theory, a great transition team as well.
Really good transition team to capitalize off that kind of
stuff. Yeah, they have so much lineup versatility.
Which is huge when
you can go large. You can go, like, super duper large. You can have lineups where you're running, like, a Risha shit at the two. They can go small as well and just put out all the wings.
I would say. Yeah. The Alexander Walker signing, I think, is really underrated as a guy who I think can share the court next to Trae Young. I think for me, the biggest thing with the Hawks is can they stay healthy? Jalen Johnson has not been the healthiest. The Porzingis has not been the healthiest. I can't remember. Has Dyson had some health injuries?
I think he's relatively healthy last year, though. Okay. But overall, yes.
But I mean, he was on the Pelicans. And
Jalen Johnson's a really good young guy.
He's good. He was going to be an all-star. He was going to make an all-star team. He just got hurt.
I want to say before the injury, 19-10-5.
How many games did he play last year?
He played 36.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, how many did Porzingis play?
Porzingis, man, I want to say he played like 40.
So how many did he play? Or I mean, how many was he on the court for? Because I think those are two different questions.
But I was going to say, bottom line, I mean, when Dre pulls it up, we can look at it. But all I was going to say is with the Hawks, it depends on can they stay healthy?
42.
Okay. So, kind of nasty as well. Can they stay healthy? Can they play? And then because the Eastern Conference is kind of, we talked about this on the very first one.
Yeah.
The free agency recap, right?
Yeah.
They kind of won free agency. I think they were one of the, I think next to the Rockets and them, and Denver. I think it's Atlanta. I think Atlanta had
maybe the Magic also.
Yeah. I think they had a really good offseason. And they're taking advantage of a Eastern Conference that won't feature Jason Tatum and the Celtics. He might bounce back, so who knows?
Every time I think of the Celtics, I have to remind myself they're starting Luka Garza at center.
They're kind of designed to be.
Well, no, Neem's key.
But bottom line is they may not be there. The Pacers, they'll be solid, right? Because they still have a good team, but they're not going to be the same team they were last year. Without it, the Bucks were a team that people kind of have to watch out for.
Top three seed in the East is up for this.
Yeah, I'll say not even top three. It's available. I think that with the way this team is set up and with how uncertain Trae Young and his future is for them, I think it has to be conference finals or bust. I think the team that you've assembled, if you cannot get to the conference finals, I think it's time to look at Trae Young and say, the most pick open somewhere else, and we're going to send you there.
Yeah, that's very fair. One thing I do want to mention is, this comes from like a Rockets perspective, we've been having conversations about this Tari Eason contract extension. Maybe, hopefully, at the time of this releasing, he's already signed. But anyway, got me down a rabbit hole of going, all right, who else are restricted free agents?
Dyson Daniels is
going into restricted free agents.
He's a really good basketball player.
I think that is like a little interesting wrench kind of thrown in here, because we talk about teams like the Brooklyn Nets maybe wanting to throw a bag if I was Brooklyn. Man.
I mean, if you look at that free agency class, too, he might actually be the best player.
If he has another, like, first team on defense year, if the offense continues to steadily improve, he's going to walk in and, like, 30 might be a low ball, genuinely.
I would be looking at the OG range if I was Dyson.
Yeah, if I'm an agent, that's what I'd ask for.
Yeah, because OG's making 40.
This is a really good team, man.
I'd be asking around that.
It's a good
team. They got a lot of depth.
Luke Kennard can shoot. Like, they have a lot of guys. I'm telling you.
He's like their, what, eighth or ninth?
Yeah, he may not even be in the main rotation.
I don't think he's going to be in the rotation in the playoffs. I think that's a regular season acquisition.
Okay, ranges?
I'm going to go 3-5.
I'm gonna go 2-5.
I'm high on them, and well,
they're not better than Knicks and Cavs.
Yeah, that's why I put.
I mean, in a regular season,
that's very fair.
Yeah. Regular season, the Knicks and Cavs.
You know, so, no, very fair. I'll go 3-5.
Yeah, I'll say in the regular season, I don't think that they would supplant the Cavs as the ones.
No, I think Cavs are.
I mean, because you gotta factor in Porzingis is gonna miss some games.
But yeah. What I will say is the one time Trae Young did get a fully healthy team, that team was on a pretty much 50-win pace, and that was in his third season.
Can I ask, are you banking on good 3-point variant Trae Young? Because that's also kind
of
the name.
I mean, he's still a pretty solid floor raiser, regardless of the 3-point.
He is, but like, if you look at his stats, it's the funniest trend in basketball. 1 year he's 34, 1 year he's 38, 1 year he's 34.
I mean, he just had 34 last year, so.
All right.
Banking on being the 38
year? We're in line for 38.
I mean, I think the range is like 2-4, or 2-5. I'll take 2-5.
Okay, so we're all around, like, this is going to be a
I think
clear
this should be a top seed.
They should be a conference finals if they get lucky finals team.
They should have home court advantage in the first round.
Yeah, please, man. Good.
Yeah, I'll say, as a Trae Young fan, I want this bounce back, so I hope so.
All right, next team here.
The Chicago Bulls, man. I can I take the lead on this one? Because I am weirdly higher on their core than a lot of people.
Core.
Yeah, I know. It sounds funny to a lot of people, but I'm weirdly higher on their core.
Is he part of the core?
Technically speaking, yeah.
I'll say they kind of got to.
They gave him the bag, so. But to me, their core is two people. We'll get to that. 39 and 43 last year. And I think the massive addition for me, and he had the worst moment in summer.
He's a bust, bro.
Every time I close my eyes, I can't, like.
Go watch the rest of those games.
Man, I don't care, bro. They had this man doing a mean face while
Noah,
getting poster, bro.
They drafted Noah Asenge 12th overall. I think Noah Asenge is going to be fantastic, genuinely.
He's got to be LeBron, bro.
I've never been more confident in Asenge.
He's got to make up for it.
I promise you, he is so, so good. And I think the reason why I love that pick for them is the other guy they have, who I still think is going to be fantastic. Matas Buzelis, I think, is going to
be
amazing.
That was a good, really good pick.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They got him pretty late in that draft, or what you thought he should have went.
They got him at 10. Yeah. 10 or yeah. Yeah.
He shouldn't have fell that far.
But I think those two, they're both 6'11".
Shame on the Hornets, man. I ain't gonna lie, bro.
I think that they...
I'm going to get to that, bro. Whoa.
We'll get to that, bro.
I am optimistically... I'm not high on them this year. I think Kobe White has to get traded. I think at some point you've got to build the value you can for him.
Yeah,
Kobe White has to get traded. I get you paid Josh Giddey. However you feel about
it. I mean, it makes him tradable.
It's a pretty fair contract, honestly.
I think, fair value contract. Yeah. He's also like... He's a PRA farmer, but he's also somewhat productive to.
But say he's a weirdly good floor raiser.
He had a really good end of the season.
Yeah, like they really were good. Insane. Which, you know, the March basketball fans of the world are telling you that it was fake. But
no, you don't think he can shoot 45% from three?
Yeah, you know. So I think he's still one of those guys that's gonna like buy you some regular season wins. So.
They'll be annoyingly good.
Yeah.
We have it written down. Shout out to Zay for this. Picking 12th to 14th every year, which is kind of the purgatory they've set themselves in. I think that with the way the lottery works, man, there's got to be a way that they just... It's no way you pulled the picture, bro. You're not a good part.
Hey, I ain't going to lie, bro. We got to add that picture in the pod when we edit, bro. We have to.
He's going to be so
We have to.
Shout out my guy. Noah, I believe in you, gang. I had you, like, five on my draft board, bro. So, like, I kind of need you to hoop.
Bro. I ain't like, that should be the thumbnail whole time, bro.
Noah is singing, bro, like, we're gonna bounce back something crazy,
but either way,
summer league hype.
I think they're gonna be around this next year as well. I think around 38 to 42 wins.
Watching it, bro. Is he watching the clip?
Watching the clip.
Oh my
goodness, bro.
But yes, I think like Isaiah has written so eloquently here. They're kind of in like a heavenly restriction of they're picking 12 to 14 every year.
They need 1 year of.
They need 1 year to just be like off.
Yeah,
just. Even if you're not off with
like jump,
be ninth and jump.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, that is what the lottery is kind of set up for. Is for these teams that quote unquote do it the right way and are always in that like 8 to 10 range to finally just jump up in one of these years, like do the Raptors where you jump from 10 to 4.
But that is the range. I remember when we ended up getting Reed and jumped up. I went back and looked.
Yes, it's 8 to 10.
It's 8 to 10, and not really like 12 to 14. You kind of want to be in that like 8 to 11.
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna be that bad.
Yeah.
And they're kind of just stuck in that purgatory of like 12.
Yeah, I think they're going to have one of the smaller ranges, I think, of all the teams. Well, I mean, besides like the Thunder and the Cavs.
Yeah.
But other than them, I think they'll have like one of the smallest
ranges.
And
the Jazz.
And the Pelicans. Number one, do you think there is any value for Nikola Jokic in the open?
Vucevic. Is there any?
Nah, I don't know. At this point,
there's any value.
It's weird because his numbers always look great, but I think a lot of people just understand what he is defensively. So,
for a contender, no.
Yeah, for a contender, I think for one of those, and hopefully they don't do it. You know who he'd have value for?
Call the Kings up,
Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, like the Warriors, but
like I mean, there were some talks about that last year as well for them. That's not the Warriors.
Yeah,
so
either.
You make phone calls about him and see what you can get. I'm gonna be honest, if a team offers you like a fake first in like 2031.
Take it, dude.
At this point, take one of them overly heavily protected first and run to the bank with it. So just free up some cash.
I mean, at that point, it's addition by subtraction.
Yeah. I was saying, then the last question, have y'all seen Patrick Williams' contract?
Yes.
He's making what, 16, right? Or is it more than that?
It's a flat 18 for the next. Mm-hmm. Including this season, it'll be the next 4 years. He's a player option that last 4 years.
Yeah.
And that's not great. I was gonna say I think that's kind of a bad deal.
But it's not great, but it is 18 mil.
I ain't a lot. So he shot 39% from the field last year.
I'm telling you, it's bad. But like it's bad in the terms of like it's terrible. So
weird. He was one of those guys. I really believed in Patrick Williams too. That sucks.
I think he was a good player early on too.
He kind of sucks. And then he has a lot of positional overlap with guys who are more promising on that team.
They're two most important prospects now who they have to prioritize. He's not Scoot Henderson. The hate always wins. But like he's not gonna get prioritized over Noah Senge or Matas Mata. Nor should he.
Matas is for sure number one.
Yeah.
Matas
Muzela should, as backwards as this might sound, he should take like 18 shots a game this year. Let him go out there.
So that's why you get Kobe White out of there.
Yeah. Like get Kobe White gone. If you can shot Vucevic away, shop him away. I think that's why it was important to get rid of LaVine. You gotta let Matas Muzela just try stuff. Go out there and like figure out what you can and can't do. I think genuinely, if everything clicks, if the jumper works, I think like he's a legit 25 a night guy. I think that's the type of skill he has. A lot of dudes aren't that tall and move that fluidly, man. Like he has a really, really rare.
Especially as a ball handler.
Frame is really good too.
Yeah.
He does this one like over cradle. He's so talented, dude. Like you don't move. Aesthetic bias is whipping my tail right now, but I think if he puts it together, he's got a real shot. Yeah.
We all got them like 9 to 10.
Yeah, I think the range is literally nine.
I think they're the plan.
Yeah, they are. It used to be the DeRozan Young Invitational. I don't know what it's going to be called this year without
DeRozan.
They missed the plane entirely.
No.
When we talk about the other,
unless they start trading people, no.
I could see a world where the Raptors are better, but
even if the Raptors are better, like which we can get to now. The Toronto Raptors, who
I've nicknamed this is the Super Team 6 seed.
Yeah, kind of. They finished last season 30-52. I think biggest move they've made in franchise history, genuinely, when I say this, fired Masai Ujiri.
Wow.
Which is something I never thought in my lifetime I'd utter those words, that Masai Ujiri was fired by the Toronto Raptors.
So can I give my Masai Ujiri hot take?
That he wasn't as good?
I think he's a gambler that just got extremely lucky.
Well, that's kind of the name of the game.
He's an archetype.
No. But I think when you look at like the process of decision making.
Player?
Yeah, I mean, he had a type, right? And
although, shout out Nova.
Yeah. Not Nova.
Yo, ain't gonna lie. They didn't even try out. Come on, that's the funny part.
They didn't. No, it's because they fired him.
No.
So crazy.
That's the funniest part about all of this is about the Masai Ujiri thing. For those that don't know, NBA Africa was founded by Masai Ujiri.
Yeah.
One of the main reasons for founding NBA Africa was to give Kamon Malawak a home. Like his family was, he has one of the best stories in basketball.
Yeah.
Kamon Malawak was like, he showed up to a camp 1 year, was like, I'm tall, I want to do this. And obviously, like South Sudan didn't have a ton of in the way of consistent basketball production. NBA Africa was created, he goes there, ends up at Duke, amazing story. All of that was funded by the NBA via Masai Ujiri. It was like the worst kept secret in the world that at pick 9, the Raptors were going to take Kamon Malawak because of the connections between the two. And the last FU to Masai Ujiri was ownership coming down and saying, we're firing you tomorrow and we're not taking this guy.
I also wonder, not to go too deep into it, I also wonder how much of the decision to go with CMB over Kamon, because that's what they ended up doing, take Colin Murray Boyles over Kamon at pick 9.
Yeah.
How much of that was also, and why am I trying to, Rich Paul telling the Raptors don't draft him?
I think if they knew, I must say, if they knew Masai was on the way out, then I think I agree with that.
Because I mean, just being honest, this was before the Suns acquired Mark Williams.
Yeah.
So if I'm Rich Paul, I'm looking.
Which I don't think would have affected Rich Paul that much.
What I'm saying is there was before the Mark Williams trade. It was like if Kamon goes there, he's starting center day one.
I'll be so honest though. If you look at this team, like with Brandon Ingram, Scottie Barnes, I actually don't think Kamon's that fit.
I think Jakob Pertl is 2 years left in his deal. It might be his last year on that deal. I forgot if he has an option or not.
And he's a pretty decent.
It seemed like the ideal thing was you draft Kamon. He gets to learn a yacht from Jakob Pertl, which a lot of stuff Kamon struggles with. Some of the stuff Jakob Pertl excels at, it being like a traditional center. Screaming. And it seemed like that would have been the natural passing of the guard between the two.
Mm-hmm.
They take CMB.
Jakob on the contract till 2030.
Oh, they did re-sign him. That's right. They did re-sign him. I forgot.
But I'm not glad. Kamon's better.
Yeah.
27?
He's making about 14% of the cap net last year.
I mean, that's crazy. 14% of the cap.
That's, you know, for
I'm going to be honest.
I mean, he's a good player.
Jakob Pertl is one of the good player. Role player centers in basketball.
And I was just on that. They kept Jakob Pertl. That was on the notes. They re-signed Jakob Pertl.
We didn't even look at the notes. What is
they got, I didn't even know. They got Sandro Mamukashala.
Sandro.
I can't hit it twice. I mean, I don't know. I think the most bizarre thing they did was get Brandon Ingram. I don't understand it. I don't understand his fit with Scottie Barnes. I don't understand his fit with RJ Barrett.
Oh, bro.
Yeah, I don't understand RJ Barrett in the first place. Do you know this team is in the first apron?
Yeah, I mean, they're just
Have you seen Emmanuel Quigley's contract?
Hot take. Worst contract in basketball.
Right. Paul George. Respect Paul George.
Yeah. There's an idea that Paul George could fake me. Knowing what you know about Emmanuel Quigley and choosing to give him, I believe he's making $35 million.
Bad. Did he get that contract with the Knicks or with the Raptors?
No, he signed his own Raptors.
He signed with the Raptors. Remember, because the Knicks didn't want to pay him.
Yeah.
The Raptors said, they gave him $35 million.
Bro, he's making 5 years, 100.
That's a lot of Knicks rejects.
He's making 21% of the cap.
Yeah. Speaking a lot, bro.
I'm going to say, they have essentially locked down a core of like, Quickly, Scottie Barnes, Brandon Ingram. They can move RJ Barrett. We'll see what they do with him. I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't understand what RJ Barrett means to the city of Toronto and the country of Canada at that, I don't think the casual Raptor fan is going to let you trade RJ Barrett, if I'm being completely honest with you. That team is just.
You need
mediocre.
To mention Scottie Barnes when you said the bad fits.
I think Brandon Ingram's a bad fit with. I think all these guys are bad fits with Scottie.
Well, which I think says more.
Never mind. No, I'm gonna talk about it.
I think it says more about Scottie Barnes than it does about other players. I think when you have a guy who is in and of itself, he's an all-star caliber player. I don't want to dunk on the caliber of player. It's just the type of player that he is.
He's made the all-star team.
Yeah, he's an all-star caliber player. It's just he's a 6'10 ball handler that can't shoot. And he can't shoot off the dribble. He's not a advanced, high field, super duper elite passer. He's a good passer for his size, and he creates a lot of advantages that way, but I've never believed you could run an offense through him.
You should.
And that's kind of the selling point the Raptors have made is he's played point guard for them at times. That was kind of the calling card for Scottie Barnes is being a point guard. And I'm going to be honest, if you can't play him at point guard, he kind of is like a 6'10", 6'9", connective wing that can't shoot. And
Like a pre-shooting leap Aaron Gordon type of guy?
He's better than Aaron. He's a better creator than Gordon is. But
Draymond.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to give Scottie Barnes Draymond.
No, there's just no. Honestly, I don't think there's a comp.
I don't like the Draymond comp.
I think in terms of the ideal role he would play on a good team, I think it would be a bit more akin to what Draymond does.
Maybe.
Yeah, just offense.
But
that's another thing.
He was Scottie's creation a bit.
I think he's a better creator, but I think that's another knock on Scottie Barnes. When he got drafted, he wasn't drafted to be an offensive player. The upside of Scottie Barnes was this is a 6'9", 6'10", switchable, do-everything lockdown defender. And I think because of the offensive pressure that he's been put on,
he's kind of taken away
from the type of defensive player that he's still shown to be at times when he's able to lock in. But it's hard to tell a guy, I've preached this a million times on this podcast already, it's hard to tell a guy, I need you to go get me 20 stops. And then on the other end say, I need you to go score on 20 possessions, whether by you creating or you scoring. No guy in NBA history has been able to do that.
Yeah.
I don't care what player you name. That's not possible. Yeah. So I think that was the appeal of bringing in a Brandon Ingram, of making sure Emmanuel Quick is there, RJ Barrett. I just don't think any of them are good enough, if I'm being honest. So,
yeah.
And you said the super
this, this is also a team that I feel like, I think it's the team that would also be better suited looking to tank and get a high pick and rebuilding through the draft. And they're going to be too good to do that because they're not the worst team in the league, but they're also just not good enough to do anything once they get, I guess, to the play-in, maybe playoffs. Like, they're just not that good.
They just have a lot of talent. So but
you don't have a lot of picks either.
Yeah.
That was a, like, little side quick spiel that I wanted to go on. So, I mean, hearing from Raptors fans in spaces, shout out to Raptors fans. It's pretty abundantly clear, like, the organization as a whole just does not believe in rebuilding. Obviously, there's a strong connection there with their like the TV deal and the ownership. Yeah, they don't want to put out a quote-unquote bad product. And I think overall that's kind of what led to Ujiri getting fired. Because, I mean, you look at these deals with these guys, like, I mean, look at the players that they ended up losing. You're talking about Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Fred VanVleet.
And mind you, losing is like they walked.
Yeah, Fred just straight up walked out the door.
And that was really stupid because I think everybody in their mind knew they should have traded.
You can't let a player, and I mean, Fred has his warts. He has his weaknesses as a player.
But walking
in 2023, man, you can't just let a guy that walk.
He was a year from his All-Star team.
Yeah, especially if you know he's not, you know you're not bringing Fred back, right? That was the, like, everyone knew it wasn't a secret at all, right?
Yeah.
Fred was going to leave. The teams Fred was potentially going to, and we knew this in like January.
Yeah.
Yep.
Magic and the Rockets. You should have been on the phone trying to fetch at least a pick for Fred before he just walked out the door with the Siakam stuff. I mean, they got a decent haul, but I mean, you could have traded Siakam in 2023 and got like the same year where DeJounte Murray went for four first round picks.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell went for 5 first round picks. Rudy Gobert went for 5 first round picks. They should have been on the phone with Pascal Siakam, who I'd argue was in the same tier of value as those players, and get that same haul back.
Maybe not.
And even the same thing with OG Anunoby. This is a very, very high value role player. We just watched Mikal Bridges get 4 first round picks. And I would argue at the time that OG Anunoby was originally, the rumors started circulating around like 23, 24 about him being traded. I'd argue OG Anunoby was worth 3-4 first round pick type of haul.
I agree.
At least,
and you just held on to all of these guys and pretty much got nothing back.
I mean, that's why he's fired, honestly.
Yeah, like, and I mean, we talked about it with the Grizzlies. You just, like I said, I don't believe in opening the floodgates and then trying to close them again.
Yeah.
Once you get rid of someone, you got to just get rid of everybody. You have to, because this is what's going to happen. Somebody's going to walk, right? You're going to end up trading the last guy because you let the last guy walk before that. And now you have no pick haul and nothing to show for it.
Yeah. I think this is the worst first apron team in the league.
that's not a hot take.
You said the super 60, and I think they turned the 6 upside down.
So you think 9?
Super 9.
What's your range? Like 6 to 9?
This team kind of sucks. Like 9, I'm not going to lie, man.
11?
Yeah,
I think they're like 6.
They could fake be a good playoff, but they're going to get first round. I'll go. You said
I ain't going to lie, man. Yeah, I don't even care. I'll just say 6 to 9, bro. I don't even care to get them a range, bro. I'm going to be real, dude.
Okay.
I think the
I hate mediocre teams, dude.
Yeah, it's a definition.
Like, bro, be bad or be good, man.
Okay, Kings or the Raptors?
Raptors.
No, I still would rather have the Raptors situation. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about who's going to be a better team next year.
Raptors are still a better team.
Raptors.
I think Raptors.
Record-wise, who has a better record? Ooh.
Raptors. They're the easier conference.
Yeah, it's in the East. I'll say Raptors. Yeah.
They don't have Zach LaVine.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
The next team.
The RJ Barrett.
Next team, I think, had a weirdly busy offseason. Brooklyn Nets went 26-56 last year. 26-56 last year. Had the most first round picks in NBA history.
Yeah, 5
first round picks.
And this year,
ended up drafting
a sixth of the first round.
So we can just go through the picks.
Yeah,
so
pick 8, they drafted Yegor Demian.
So real quick, before we move on, really funny story about that. We were all in playback.
Oh,
when this pick went down, we were all spectating the draft, and we were like, okay, who are they going to take here? And DeAndre said the words, "I don't think there's a bad pick here."
No, famous last
besides
word.
Besides Igor Demon. And lo and behold, they took Igor Demon.
I think I didn't say his name, but everyone knew what I was insinuating. Someone, I think, shout out to Benny Blue Chip, man. Benny had said, "I don't think there's a bad pick here." And I said, "Oh, there's a bad pick." Funny enough, I
mean, he might be great. We don't
know. APG. I will say I've like
better Ben Simmons.
I've like come around on the idea of Yegor Demin. I don't think he's ever gonna be like an all-star caliber player, but the idea of him, I get why you take him at pick 8. He's a legitimate, like, he got measured at 6'8" barefoot. So he's gonna walk around the court 6'10". He's a 6'10" ball handler. He struggles in some aspects as a point guard, as a functional point guard. Decent shooting form. He didn't shoot well at BYU. That's the least of their problems.
When he played against high comp, his numbers were
bad, and scary. Yeah, it was bad. He struggled. He looked 18. He looked 18, 19. That's okay if they develop him the right way. Yeah. Part of that's on him, and part of them that is on the team. The issue with how they're going to develop him is how they chose to draft the rest of the draft class.
Yes. That's the problem.
Everything I just described to you about Yegor Demin would be what?
They drafted four of them.
A guard.
They drafted Isaiah's point. If I just swap Yegor Demin for any of the other names of the next four guys, it's the exact same scouting report.
Yep.
Nolan Traore, point guard who struggled shooting, struggled against better competition, and struggles with just some basic point guard things, right? They drafted him at 19. Drake Powell is the only non-point guard they drafted. Guess what he struggles with? Shooting against better competition. The next guy,
back-to-back picks.
Ben Seraph, they drafted at 26, played on Noah Senge's team, and the drop-off between Noah Senge's net rating to Ben Seraph's net rating was like, oh, you're just not a good basketball player. What does Ben Seraph also struggle with? Being a ball handler that cannot shoot and struggle with better competition. And then Danny Wolf, to close it all out, went to Michigan via Yale. Danny Wolf was probably
good shooter. The first shooter.
I'm about to say
first.
This
might be their best pick.
Probably,
yeah.
Funny enough, best value.
I mean,
wise,
for value,
argue,
yeah.
Value, yeah, value wise,
their best pick. But he's again another guy who's like a 6'11" guard. He's not really a center. So they kind of just
What does pick 26 and pick 27 have in common?
Bro, stop.
They both struggled against good competition. Clear not big. Oh, my God.
But I feel like we're skipping over the biggest part about all of this. They brought in, like, more veteran NBA players to
they did
set the locker. But I do think Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, God.
Hey, how about Terrence Mann, dog?
The funniest team of all time.
I said this two episodes ago. This is the funniest team in the NBA.
I'll say between their draft.
I'm glad. They snatched the Hornets, man.
Is Cam Thomas the same one?
Cam Thomas, Michael Porter Jr. duo leading your team.
Yes, mind you,
Cam Thomas is like the sane person.
I'm glad. Is he the longest tenured player on the Nets?
He is, weirdly. It's Nick Claxton.
I forgot about
that. Doesn't want to be there.
He doesn't want to be there.
Nick Claxton is hilarious. He doesn't want to
be there. Most obviously.
Cam Thomas. It's not just Cam Thomas.
He is the most obviously.
Betting on myself with the qualifying offer, Thomas.
Wait.
It's Cam.
My favorite quote ever. Cam, I'm passing him the ball. They just not making the shot. Thomas. That is something he actually said when they asked him about his assist.
Cam Thomas was a black hole. Before he bet on himself with the qualifying
that was
offer.
Also before Michael Porter Jr.
Yes. Is MPJ on a one-year or two-year?
He got two years
left.
Oh, Lord.
Is also going to be the first time. No. He has this year and next year.
Yeah, he's
Lord two. Help us.
So it's going to be the first
time. So they got a contract here at MPJ?
MPJ. That's what I'm saying. The collection of talent hilarious. On this team, on and off the court, is just bizarre.
Hey, it's interesting.
I'm gonna be so real. The only thing I care from the Brooklyn Nets this season, I need a podcast with Michael Porter Jr. and all the rookies. That is all I'm asking for, dude, is the MPJ rookies podcast, bro.
MPJ already said they're teaching him things.
Oh my God.
I was gonna say that
we cannot have a conversation.
But on a serious note, like, there's this new Netflix series called Starting Five, right? And I know this team isn't going to be good. Please, Netflix, for season two, follow somebody on this team.
It will be season three.
Follow
Cam Thomas, follow MPJ. But yeah, this team's going to suck.
I was going to say, I think
they're going to be real entertaining, though.
I think
super entertaining. You know the worst part about that?
No, go ahead.
I'll say, worst part about this is, I think Jordy Fernandez is one of
the best
coaches.
He's a good coach. He's a really good coach.
He is a genius.
They
just
give him nothing.
You worded it correctly. Not a good collection of talent, just a collection of talent. That is what it is, dude. And he has to find a way to make it work. So kudos to him.
Oh, man.
Jordy Fernandez, I am praying for you, dog. I really am.
I mean, so I was going to say is,
I don't know how much value MPJ has right now, but I think if I was the Nets, I would be looking to get his value as high as I can so I can get off of him as soon as I can. I think best case scenario for them is he doesn't finish the season as a Net. And then, yeah, it's, I mean, you got your draft picks back from the Rockets. Was it, do we even own this pick? Do we ever own 26?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we gave it back.
It was back.
We still have the.
It was outright.
So I know we had 20. Okay, so bottom line is you got your pick back this year. You don't do that.
Oh, we know what time it is, man.
To be one of the worst teams in the league. They're going to tank this year, obviously.
Big Nathaniel, man.
So maybe they draft high next season.
They're the team that, like, there are a lot of teams that would really want, and we talked about the Jazz, the Hawks, and other teams that'll probably end up being in that.
They need a top pick.
Of other picks or their own picks. They're the one team I look at and say, like, they need Cameron Boozer.
It's kind of a blank slate. Like, if I'm a top pick, kind of want to go to Brooklyn.
In all honesty, like,
is New York?
Yeah, it's your team.
You come in, it's your team.
New York market, which I got to go to New York a couple weeks ago for the Liberty game. Barclays Center is beautiful. It's one of the best arenas out there. The fan base is electric for both Nets, surprisingly.
Yeah, they're really a fan base.
They have a very good basketball culture up there. You saw it when they were good with Kyrie, KD, and Harden. Those fans, there are Brooklyn Nets fans in New York. It's not just it's a Knicks town, but they're team. They're guys that want you to root for the Nets. Go to Nets games. It's an excellent atmosphere. If you're a young guy, if you are a Cam Boozer, a Darren Peterson, an AJ DeBonson, you get to tell me, I get to go to Brooklyn with a team full of just dudes.
And they're just going to pass
you the ball. I'm the guy.
They're just going to pass you the ball. I would love to go there. Yeah. You kind of be the face of the franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I have
nothing
else positive.
We talked about teams chasing history in the opposite direction with the Thunder of being a 70-plus win team. Is this a team that is going to be one of the worst teams in NBA history?
No. I don't think they're that bad.
No, I think they
have too much, like, good, bad talent. Like, MPJ is not a valuable basketball player. He's going to have some hot streaks that win you game. Cam Thomas, for better or for worse, is 25 a night. Like, they got some of
those. I mean, I feel like those are two players that are going to get sent home, though.
I think Nick Claxton's a good center.
I think Cam Thomas
and MPJ are either going to get injured or they're going to get sent home. He's going to play. Yeah, he's going to play. But I think MPJ is probably going to get sent home at some point. And to your point with Claxton, I think he's getting traded.
Yeah,
he should. That's it. Most I'd be Laker. Asking for a trade if I
were. Honestly, I think one of these teams most within the conference is probably going to trade for him.
Yeah, and then they're just hoping that they get that top draft pick.
Or hoping that, like, I mean, as bad as I think their draft night was, I'm alive. All five of you.
Somebody got to be good, bro.
Bail, like, yeah, one of them.
Somebody got to be good.
One of them's got to hit him. So, yeah.
Like, we talk about shotgun approach. They took, like, the.
Yeah, they went ultimate, like, super Howie. Like,
yeah.
Super duper Howie.
So you just got to hope.
One of them got to work.
And I mean, the way the rotation is, like, for the most part, they kind of have to play them.
Then, but opportunity for them.
You have to play.
They kind of have to play those dudes. So,
yeah.
Just play them, see which one of them works. I think this next team, though, is on the.
We give ranges. I mean, bad.
Probably. 15 to 15.
They may not be the 15.
I think
they
13.
I'm glad. Who is out tanking them in the East?
There's a team. We'll get to them. There's a team in our nation's capital.
Yes.
Best believe.
You know what? Angua, that's a good.
They're anywhere.
I'll say 14 to 15.
They're going 13 to 15. What's the opposite of band for band? They're going.
Dime for dime? Penny for penny?
Yeah, they're going debt
coin for coin.
Debt for debt.
They're going change cup for change cup.
They're going debt for debt.
Hey, somebody queue up the square with the shaking the cup, bro.
Next team here. I think this is the widest range of outcomes in the NBA.
Oh yeah, easily.
Philadelphia.
Most definitely.
I don't believe in them.
So they drafted VJ Edgecombe. New gen camp.
The generator, man.
Yeah. Generator.
Don't disrespect him like
my
that.
My bad. That was
he's not a new gen camp.
Yeah, that might have been too much.
They don't even play the same.
Yeah, they don't. they re-signed Justin Edwards.
I like the
Eric Gordon and Kyle Lowry signings as just like vet guys.
Yeah.
You need him in the locker room.
They lost Jared Butler, Gershon Yabusele.
That one I think is actually gonna.
I want to talk about that because we're gonna get it. We're talking about qualifying offer guys, man.
We have to talk about,
dude.
That, yeah.
What they have done with Quentin Grimes and subsequently made them lose Gershon Yabusele, man. Morey, what are you doing, man? Like, because the thing is, you knew you did not want to re-sign him, right? It was very abundant. By the fact that they did not just give him an extension outright, and when they got into free agency, they didn't even look to sign him then, that you did not want to keep him, right? You have a logjam at guard. You believe in Maxey, obviously. They also believe in Jerry McCain. You've had a power forward issue Embiid's entire career. The one time you actually have a power forward, you let him walk. And not only did you let him walk, you let him walk to a conference rival.
Yeah.
He went to the Knicks.
So nasty.
And it's like, dude, so you got this guy on a qualifying offer who you're probably just going to lose for nothing in free agency.
Yeah, Quentin Grimes, I don't understand what they're doing.
Like, I just, what are you doing?
Quick Quentin Grimes tidbit. It came out today, October 1st, that Daryl Morey actually offered Quentin Grimes $100,000
to waive his
injury.
It's not a serious individual, bro. It's not, man.
On the nth degree.
Like, I ain't lying. Daryl Morey's here now, bro.
Yeah.
The other thing that, because like, y'all talking about like kind of like the lower ends of it, look at the top. Joel Embiid is still not healthy, guys.
Starting the first year of a 4-year
Super Bowl. Training camp starts this week. And he is still not ready to play NBA basketball.
Yeah.
We said it when we talked about it. I don't think I even ranked him. And the reason why I didn't rank him is, dude, you're already on that wrong side of 30, and your body's on that wrong side of 30. I have no reason to believe that Joel Embiid is going to recover. There's real rumblings. They are hoping he medically retires, so they don't have to pay him anymore. Because that's how bad it is, right? You think it's bad because at Joel Embiid's best, he's still one of the best players in the entire like world. Like, he's that good when he's healthy, right? But he's just not. The other problem with that is you just gave Paul George that contract last
year. I forgot about that.
And I would say DeAndre, you said he was quickly. You think he's the worst contract? Yeah, I think Paul George is the worst contract in the league. And I think
that's a real argument.
I think that Paul George contract was a bad contract.
The moment it was signed, it was horrendous.
It's the same thing with Paul George. Even if he plays, because bottom line is he didn't play that much last year either. He's the definition of injury prone. Even when he plays, he's not that good anymore. He's not the Paul George from 2-3 years ago.
He's not getting
any younger.
That'll be like my like little pushback. He's not an all-star caliber. He's not worth the money he's making. I think the idea of signing him at the time, I think, was still stupid to give him that much money. But for a team that was getting desperate to try and do something,
didn't want to give James Harden.
Can we stick on that point?
You didn't want to give James Harden that money a year ago. At this point in time,
paid him $15 million more than what Harden was asking for.
And I was going to say, bro, because I have vested interest in James Harden. I watched the Clippers games that year where him and Paul George were teammates. Bro, come playoff time, dude is supercharged Trevor Ariza. That is who he is right now. Supercharged Trevor, and you gave that guy that much money, bro. And that's, like I said, that was with him, you know, last season dealing with those injuries. He's still, once again, not healthy, so I think he's going to be regressing even more. He's rapidly regressing. I don't believe in the Sixers. That's why I said the widest range of outcomes.
I want to go on his podcast.
I don't believe in him. I think they're going to be bad. Or like mid to bad. They're not going to be a good team next year.
My range for the Sixers, unironically, is like 4-12.
I wrote it down in my notes earlier. 3-13.
Oh no, there's no there is no world where they're the 13.
If Embiid is healthy, it's the least likely world. It's the least likely world, but like if, and it's the biggest if, and I agree with you. I think it's more likely they're closer to 13 than they do get to 3. But if Joel Embiid is healthy, he is still one of the 5 best basketball players roaming the earth.
But the problem is that guy might be not alive.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think like if he's not alive, it's crazy. If he is the story of Embiid where he's 30 games and we don't see him the rest of the season, they're the
12. And even if he is healthy, it's the kind of thing where you got to load manage, bro.
You do.
I think if they can load manage him,
I think this is a high-end outcome.
Man, he got to play half a season, dude.
You know what I'm saying? If they load manage him for 55 games, 55 out of 82, they make the playoffs.
Because they be winning at like a damn near 60.
Yeah, like, I think they make the playoffs. If he plays 55 games this season, 76ers are a top.
Yeah.
I mean, 55?
If he plays 55.
Oh, okay, but I don't think he plays 55.
The thing with the Sixers is when you look at like some of their like marginal like move, like I think the Justin Edwards signing last year as an undrafted free agent, and then the re-signing on the contract they got, amazing, right? Very good value. He was a very good player for them. He was one of the bright spots of the team last year. I think the Grimes acquisition at the deadline was also a really good acquisition. He was a really good player. Obviously, the Jerry McCain pick at 16, also a really good player. even the Yabusele pickup, really good player. When you look at how they managed half of those players, and then you look at how they managed the high-end portion of the team, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you didn't pay Harden because you didn't believe that he was worth that contract. And then you turn around the next offseason and sign Paul George to a 4-year max contract. And the thing is there, right? Because you can make the argument, oh, well, they were bidding against someone else. Well, I mean, if because I want to say the other team in contention was the Warriors at that time.
Yeah.
Dog, if they want him that bad to give him a max, let him have that max slot open.
I think it would be better than
that's money.
Just sign no one than to sign Paul.
You have a full max slot worth of money. Just start signing role players. Unironically, if they would have went into that offseason and instead of signing Paul George, re-signed Tobias Harris, and then signed like another high-end role player.
You could have paid Quentin Grimes and you still...
Just have a really stacked team.
I think this is realistic to say. You were going to end up with a third overall pick regardless.
With Embiid's health, yes.
I mean, that's the problem. There's kind of nothing you can really do because the player you're building your franchise around is...
I mean, they fried themselves.
Yeah, they're fried.
And Embiid's fried, so... 3-13, you said.
That's probably
more. Man, heck,
in the slightest chance, Joel Embiid is healthy. In the slightest chance.
Yeah, man, 10-15 for me.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm where you are. I'm 3-13. Yeah.
Okay, so now for the saddest band for band.
No, they're not sad.
No.
Two teams. They're not.
Hold up. Put some respect.
That's a triple band for band.
Put some respect on the Summer League champion, Charlotte Hornets.
You know what?
Respect on him, dog. Come on,
hey,
bro.
Shout out Demon Con. Shout out Demon Con, man. Duke
that's
legend.
Where it stops. Nah,
he tried to say Con Knipple. What's that mean? Bro's trying to gas it up.
Respect. Demon Con. Hold on,
Demon Con, bro. Demon Con.
What's up, man?
Con is your best. Okay.
Like, he ain't they best, like, bro, but Demon Con Knipple, bro.
Hey, man. We talked about how sometimes you got to take base hits, bro. That's a base hit. That's a double.
You know what? That's a check down. I agree. And you know what? For a team that's been striking out for the better part of a decade,
I'm in scoring.
Take the check down. Take the check down.
I mean, they could have drafted Salone again.
Man, I said they got Salone a year ago, so.
Man, oh, my God. I ain't going to lie, man.
I don't believe in the name test, but the moment I heard the words Tadashi Salone, I was like.
Yeah, like
can't be a good
I ain't gonna lie. I want the ice on that because I just from
real quick, can we intro the
go ahead.
They went 19-63 last year. This year drafted Con Knipple at 4. Also picked up Ryan Kalkbrenner at the top of the second round, who I think is a really good pick for them.
Indeed.
Lost Mark Williams, lost Yusuf Nurkic, cut Nick Smith, which was a pretty big shocker to me.
Not Nick Smith.
And Josh Okogie as well, new Rockets legend. Josh Okogie, re-signed Trey Mann, brought in Pat Connaughton, Spencer Dinwiddie, who the rest of the NBA world found out yesterday, Mason Plumlee, and traded for Colin Sexton.
Which is really they traded
I'll say that. They got Sexton.
Really solid move.
Yeah. Price. It was like Nurkic, and they got a second to take him on, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bro, Utah, what are you doing?
Yeah, I want to harp on this pick last season.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, fundamentally, it just makes no sense from an organizational standpoint, right? I think going into last season, obviously, I think they already had the concerns with Mark Williams, as you can see with the deadline stuff. I don't think that was just, the Lakers are giving us a good offer, I'll take it. Like, they've been having questions about him. Obviously, when you're a guy of that size at that age with back problems, you have to have concerns, right? Cool. LaMelo himself also has injury history, also has injury concerns. You had two different options at 6. You could have took Matas or Klingon.
Oh my God.
You could have took either one of them.
Melo.
You chose neither and you took Maju. This is the Charlotte Hornets. I don't wanna make Charlotte Hornets fans spiral into depression.
Nah, it's bad, bro.
So we won't speak on the Hornets draft history, right? We won't go into the weeds on that, right? But it's bad. Like, we can just be honest.
Yeah. It's rough.
Everything in between 2020 and 2023 is bad, right?
For a team like that, you could argue.
Take your base hit.
They could have drafted anybody from, like, 7 to, I'm going to say 12, and it would have been a better pick.
Nah, Cody Williams also would have been nasty.
There was a,
I'd rather have that.
There's a video of Tijon Salone that just popped up on my timeline today of him taking a curl as a prospect, and it hit the top of the backboard.
Top of the backboard.
And the first comment, and I'm not trolling, y'all can see this, says, looks like a future Charlotte Hornet.
Oh, man.
I will say, in terms of positive prospects, LaMelo Ball just can't get on the court. Which sucks because I think he's really good.
Very talented. He just
cannot
can I read the numbers for you real quick?
Yeah.
Oh, his games
36, 22, and 47.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes.
That's it?
And that's also, once again, is a member of Availability FC. I'm going to coin that. I'm Availability FC.
Availability FC.
Because that's why I didn't like, that's why I don't like Zion. That's why I don't like Zion.
Oh, that's another player that should be traded.
I would say LaMelo Ball is like the starting point guard of Availability FC because he don't play. Bro, don't play. And I'm a Ball in the Family fan. I love the Ball family. But, dude, you have played 36, 22, and 47 games. Yeah, probably
I thought that's barely a four.
And I think their second best prospect is Brandon Miller.
Can I read this out?
On it, off court.
I just want to haunt some Hornets fans real quick. In 2018, at pick 11, you know the Charlotte Hornets drafted?
2018.
You said 11? Was that Miles Bridges?
They traded for Miles Bridges. Do you know who the Charlotte?
Oh, no. Who did they draft at 11?
I don't know.
Who did they draft?
Reigning league MVP, Shea.
Oh, it was SGA.
Oh, my God.
It was SGA. I thought he got picked at 12.
Clippers.
Completing the Kobe Bryant.
Oh, wait. So, so.
Getting drafted by the Hornets and traded.
Wait, so he was, Bridges was picked 12 then.
Yep.
Man, I
would just like since drafting and trading SGA for Miles Bridges, this has been their draft history. PJ Washington, good player,
good pick,
but Angela, they traded him.
Yeah. No longer with the team. LaMelo Ball, Vernon Carey, Grant Riley, James Booknight, no longer in his team.
Lord, I like the pre-draft. I hate to say that, but I
he's not even in the league anymore.
He's not. Scotty, he got like 3 DUIs his rookie year.
Yes, Scotty Lewis was their top of the second round. For my YouTube basketball fans, Scotty Lewis is playing 1-on-1s for Ball His Life right now. Drafted Jalen Duren at pick 13.
And traded him.
I remember that. Traded him. I have no idea why they just kept both of them.
Yes.
Drafted Mark Williams.
Who also can't play games.
I would have just kept both of them. You would have had a nasty center rotation. Following year 2023, drafted Brandon Miller.
Good big. Base hit.
Yeah.
I think Nick Smith Jr.
Should drafted him in, though.
Nick Smith Jr., who you just cut. Kobe Jones, who's no longer with the team. Muhammad Gay, who's no longer with the team. Amari Bailey, who got cut the fall.
I mean, I ain't gonna forget the Montas pick, dude. There's no way you don't take Klingon, bro. Like, I'm sorry. You could have took
he
Klingon.
He was perfect for
him. You could have took Khalil Ware, bro.
That's not
and
hindsight.
You knew you needed a center.
I'll say that's
you knew you were going to trade Mark Williams.
On Holmes.
Everyone on our team.
Would have been a better pick. No, bro. If they would have took Zach Edey.
Dude, everyone.
Yes,
I mean, literally any of the center prospects.
That's what I was saying,
any
bro.
Of the center prospects, man.
Pretty much any pick but the one they made would have been a better
pick. Do you
remember
who they were rumored to take at 6? And it was funny when the trade ended up happening that didn't end up happening. Yeah. Remember, they were going to take Dawn Connect at 6.
They were.
That was the biggest
rumor. Oh, yeah.
That would have been such a... Oh, my God.
It was connected. Everyone was like, cool.
I mean, anything would have been a better pick than what they did, dude. And I don't know, man. Like, I just for me personally, you know, team building wise, I think if I'm questioning whether my franchise center is going to be here long term because of his injury concerns,
maybe I should.
If there's a guy who's a very high floor player who is a damn near cannot miss prospect, not even dinner, he's can't miss, bro. The only thing that is going to stop Donovan Klingon from being a like perennial all star level impact is injuries. In terms of what he does on a basketball court, this is a guy who in his peak is going to walk into being a walking top 15 defense.
Okay.
For a team like the Hornets, dude, you just got to take a base hit, man. You have to.
Which is why I like the Khan draft pick.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, imagine if they would have drafted Klingon this year and Khan this year.
Oh, my God. That'd be
how much better off would they be?
Okay, the only reason I'm not putting their range at 15 is because of this Knicks team.
Oh, man.
You want the ISO?
Can I get a quick little ISO?
You got it.
Wizards fans, your core sucks.
Well, all right, let's do the range on the Hornets real quick, and then we can talk about
the Hornets is 13. It's
going to
be 13 to 15 in whatever order. It's going to be Nets, Hornets, Wizards at 13.
Oh man, that's going to be a great band for me.
I mean,
one of these teams got to be all time bad, bro.
I was going to say in the 2% hypothetical where
somebody got to be all time bad, bro.
Okay,
all right,
that's not going
to Wizards.
The Wizards suck, and their core is
I don't agree with that sentence.
Their best young player in their core is the guy they just drafted.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all, actually.
Who Trey Johnson... Actually, no. Alex Starr is still their best
young player. Yeah, I'll say...
He'll be solid.
I'll respond.
Trey Johnson is... I like Trey Johnson. I had 3 on my board. Them getting him at 6, I think, was a heck of
one of the best
steal
picks
value-wise. And that was the best pick there. The issue with drafting Trey Johnson is, when you look at the rest of your core, you know what they all are?
Guards.
Bad guards.
Yep.
Okay.
Bub Carrington, for better or for worse...
Not a bad guard.
He's not a bad guard.
He can get to the rim.
He's pretty average. I'm going to keep it
I mean,
back.
But he's...
Shout out to Miles, who loves him, but he's pretty average. You know who they have next to him? AJ Johnson. You know AJ Johnson
is? He sucks.
AJ Johnson's bad. Do you know who's next to him? Cam Whitmore. You know what Cam Whitmore is? Like, they have a core of guys that are just
shout
like...
Shout out Demon Koulibaly, man.
You, and no funny, like, Kyshawn George is, like, one of their high upside guys.
It's a good
he's actually
it's
pretty
a,
good.
He's a good young player.
Serious question. How many of them dudes end up top 100 players?
I think Kyshawn George could be, like, lowest of low ends one.
I'll say two. I think they have at least two.
They got, like, two at best.
I don't agree with that. And I was
okay, what about top 50?
Oh, they'd be lucky.
Probably still two.
Maybe look. Trey Johnson.
Yeah.
I love Trey Johnson. I don't think he's top 50.
I think he could.
Trey Johnson will be a top.
Also, I'm not gonna lie about Alex Sarr. We kind of just went, oh yeah, he's gonna be good and move past it
and ignored how garbage.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. I'm a little concerned about Alex.
I mean,
his offense looks kind of.
His offense is a little.
To defend Sarr though, he is one. He did. I mean, and mind you, his game is not necessarily guard.
Dependent.
Guard dependent.
No, it's not guard friendly.
Yeah, guard. That's the word I was looking for. His game is no because he doesn't really screen. Doesn't really roll to the basket.
What was he shooting on layups?
He doesn't have a guard.
You
right.
Really
that's one thing. His starting point guard was Bub Carrington, who I disagree, DeAndre. I don't think Bub Carrington's going to become an all star or anything like that. But I think he's an NBA player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yes, and then so that's your guard. But on top of that, like we know bigs. What would you say us like the development curve for bigs is a bit more strenuous than. For other positions, I believe Alex Sarr can still be because he has good touch. He's a good shooter. Is a shooter. He's showing.
Not touch at the basket.
I'll give you shooting indicators. I gotta talk about it, bro. He's really bad finishing at the rim.
He shot 45% on layups at the rim in the half court.
That's a 7-footer, bro.
Lord help us.
Like, this is not issue. I'd be with you. I do think, like, pre-draft, I said his shooting is going to be a work in progress, but I do think he had good shooting touch as, like, a three-point shooter.
That might be his best offensive skill, funny enough.
I think he's a really good defender.
That's something we can talk about. I think he's good.
Man, dude, if you can't finish inside the paint.
He can't do anything a 7-footer is supposed to do, he can't
have
do it.
He doesn't have big skills. And I'm not saying that those are easy to develop because they're not.
They're not at all.
But I'm going to be patient with him. I think that.
Oh,
that's,
man.
That's
we talking about,
you know,
we
you
talking
know
about Jaren Jackson at the
rim.
Oh, my God.
It's not even just at the rim. Do you know what percent of his field goal attempts he took from 0 to 3 feet?
I probably wasn't that much. He thinks he's Christian Wood.
It was like 20% of the same, like 24.
17%.
Yeah, he thinks he's Christian.
Jaren Jackson the third.
He took 30% of his shots from 3 to 10. Do you know what he shot from 3 to 10 feet?
It was bad.
That'd be like 30.
I don't know, man.
36.
I'm a believer.
He almost shot better at the rim.
Terrible at layups, right?
Man, give us some time.
Like, even a little bit outside the restricted area, he's not good. He doesn't get to the restricted area.
I'm with you. Koulibaly stinks. I'm with you on that one, Drew.
Yeah, but that's my thing is they have an entire core of, like, ideas.
Yeah. That's
like,
I'm going to be real.
I think the
for me, the only guys,
Trey Johnson is 20 a night. That's
the only guy I care about or guys I care about is Sarr, Trey Johnson, Bub Carrington, Kyshawn George, and the idea of Cam Whitmore.
How many of those
everybody
guys?
Look, I'm going to be honest with
gun
you.
Gun to your head. How many of those guys are a top 50 player in the NBA?
I think
Trey Johnson is hard.
Top 75.
Think Trey Johnson.
I think Trey Johnson.
Okay, the problem is
Trey and Sarr defensively. Alex Sarr's offense terrifies me. It genuinely does.
It actually scares me.
The issue I had, I saw this in person at Summer League when he played. Yeah, dude. Genuinely,
some of the Rockets game.
Like, there's a Rockets game too. In back to back games, after hearing the criticism about him, because remember the reason he did not want to be the number one overall pick and go to Atlanta is they were going to ask him to play center. He said, "No, I don't want to be that." Do you know what he's going to have to do in the NBA?
Play center.
He's going to have to play center, and he doesn't want to do any of the things centers are asked to do offensively. I think defensively, his movement skills, he's got decent instincts, he's a really rangy guy. That'll carry over. He will be a quality defender. He will give you a certain defensive floor. Man, offensively, I struggle to see it. He doesn't have the guys around him that make his... Bub Carrington's a good PNR player. He's not the type of PNR player that makes his bigs better. And that's not fair to ask of a second-year guard either. It's not fair to ask Bub Carrington to be that right now. He can develop into one, but it's not fair to say, I need you to be that right now. It's not fair to ask Trey Johnson.
Yeah, they don't have learn how to run enough P&R force him to run right pick now. And roll. Yeah.
It's just not, and I'm going to be honest, the dudes they brought, like CJ McCollum can do it. CJ McCollum don't want to be there.
Okay, and but that,
Chris Middleton
that's,
don't want to be
that's
there.
That's what I was going to say, because I think I'm probably the person who's the highest on the Wizards' future of, cool. the, of this panel.
I think so.
I think one thing I do love about their offseason is they brought in, I mean, they brought Chris Middleton last season. They brought in CJ McCollum this season. They have quality, like these are probably two of the highest quality vets you can ask for, right? Chris Middleton's a champion. CJ McCollum was the former president of the NBA Player Association. He's won it.
Thank God
levels.
He's
won. Yeah, that's true.
Thank God.
Right.
Shout but, out, like, Fred. Shout
these
out.
These are two quality vets around your young guys. CJ McCollum's already on media talking about how he's getting in Trey Johnson's ear about how to take care of his body, what to do in his off days, how to like stay sane throughout the course of an NBA season. And as Rockets fans, when we started our rebuild, didn't have one of these guys, right? They have two of them.
Yeah, but like, how many of them dudes are? How many young guys can throw a pocket pass?
I mean, but it's also not a finished team. They're gonna draft high.
Let me ask you.
That's kind of the point of their young core.
Yeah, no, they're supposed. They're gonna draft high.
Obviously, they're still add another like, young player. They're still in like tank yeah. some more and tank some more. But like, at what point?
I mean, they've been
one of
bad for a while.
Whatever
ring fit,
like, picks have to hit and be a floor raiser.
I'm not gonna lie. If they,
like,
no, that's what I'm gonna get you.
If they get a top three pick this year and take one of like Campbell's or Edge of Boston, are you not looking at this team and saying solid group of guys?
No, I'm looking at
no, not with
thing.
That
they
core.
They added AJ DeBonta. Yeah, not that the group.
Is, I'll look at the last 3 years with the draft picks and say that.
It pushes them down, right? Because now, so now Trey Johnson is no longer your best.
No, I like Trey Johnson. So this thing, Trey Johnson is not going to be dependent on everybody else. None of these guys are. You adding AJ DeBonta doesn't make Bilal Coulibaly suck less.
I mean, no, he's
just
I don't care about
Bilal Coulibaly. Like Kyshawn George, I think will be like
he's a rotation player.
But that's what I'm saying. Like he's a rotation.
That's the problem, though, bro. You have rotation.
Yeah, but that's why you draft high.
Oh, serious question, because he was on their team a couple, I think, I don't know if he's still on the roster or not. Will Kyshawn George be better than Julian Champagne?
Yes.
I ain't gonna lie to you, gang.
I lied. Julian like, Champagne is like, actually a good
that's
player.
What I'm saying,
that's
like, dude,
I think
like
Kyshawn George
like,
is gonna be a good NBA player.
Okay, no, I mean, even better question. How many of them dudes get a second contract with the Wizards?
No. Kyshawn George is gonna be here for the long haul.
Well, I'll say
and
Keyshawn,
Bud Carrington is too. I'm telling you, it is their four.
I just don't think they're
of Trey Johnson, Alex Carr, Bud Carrington, and Kyshawn George. And then once again, the idea of Cam Whitmore. I don't believe in the idea.
If let's say you add Cam Boozer to that, right?
Yeah.
You can't stop at Cam Boozer. You have to be
bad.
You
gotta be a bad again.
I mean, that's cool.
But again, if
I'm
I have
on,
to be bad again,
like,
if I have to
they,
be bad again,
they,
I'm
okay,
drafting
no, no, no,
at pick two,
no,
and
no,
then adding Cam
no, no, no,
Whitmore
no, no,
and Trey Johnson, you're telling me the rest of my core sucks.
Here's the issue. Yeah. Here's the issue with what you're saying, right, is they only drafted Alex Hart last season. That is their first top pick.
King, no, no.
No, they've been bad
they've
for
been
years.
No, no,
bad
no, no. They, but no, no, no. They traded Bradley Beal in 2023 and in 2024 drafted I. They were. I want to say they got new management, right? New front office or new ownership.
Man.
But there was a clear shift the moment they traded Bradley Beal.
Was like, what,
under this
they,
new?
They drafted. This is the problem I had with that. One, they drafted Johnny Davis. And Johnny Davis was
That was the overachiever.
He was still the 10th
that
overall
was
pick. 2020, picking, no,
Bradley Beal was on the roster.
They were picking in a lottery, though.
But I ain't gonna lie,
they were a lottery team.
Me personally, I don't care about anything that happened while Bradley Beal was on the roster. Once Bradley Beal is gone, I think they have done what you're supposed to do. They missed
on draft picks.
No, but I'm saying
not in this new region. Unless you're telling me Alex Carr is a miss.
I'm not gonna say he's a miss.
I don't think Alex Carr
is not post.
No, but that's the thing. Right?
I mean, no, he was the same season they got.
You can't get off the whole like new regime thing. I will counter by saying this.
Wasn't Coulibaly also a late pick too?
He was like a top
7
they
pick.
They traded away a pick to get Coulibaly. That's what makes it even worse. I will say this about their new regime and everything that goes wrong with it.
Right.
The reason they're in a new regime, and regardless of how you feel about the guy, they traded away a guy who would be their best player right now and best prospect, Denny Avdija. They traded him for what they get in return. I believe they got Bub Carrington back. I believe that was the return. Because they got Bub Carrington. Like, Denny Avdija would spearhead, and to be quite frank,
he's not.
No. I would love their rebuild if they still had Denny Avdija.
I don't think I would love it, but it would be a lot better.
It'd be so. If you told me they had Denny Avdija, Trey Johnson, and Alex Carr, and the prospect of adding another top five pick next year, I would look at it a lot differently.
I'm just going to be so honest. They spent five firsts, right, over 2 years. Compared to our reboot, our first five firsts, we drafted an all-star, two
good rotation players in Tari Eason, Jabari Smith Jr.
You're forgetting Jalen drafted Josh Christopher, Usman Garuba,
Ty
Washington.
Okay, in our first 2 years.
Yeah, those were guys drafted.
Those are guys that we missed. But we still had
seven first round picks.
Bro, look at one player on the roster and tell me with a straight face, you think they have all-star potential?
I think
Alex Starr is an all-star in the next 4 years?
He's too raw for me to say that right now, so no. But I don't know.
That's a problem.
I haven't given up on Alex Starr.
No, I'm not saying I'm giving up on him, but if I don't feel confident to say you're an all-star in the next 4 years, gang, I got to negotiate a contract with you next summer.
Yeah.
Like, next summer, I got to.
Just going into year two.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
We can have these combos at the end of the season.
Dude, but that's kind of my...
I guess if you're more wait and see, I'm just I'm just, from a prospect perspective, I don't like the high-end outcomes of this talent pool.
I don't think any of these dudes commands anything close to a rookie max contract. And if I don't feel... Shingun didn't get one, I was confident giving him one. Amen Thompson's probably going to get a rookie max. You asked the Wizards, not the Wizards, you asked the Magic if they had any question about whether Paolo were getting rookie maxes. I don't think the Wizards front office at any point in this season, barring Alex Starr taking a leap, Scotty Barnes, like all those guys, I don't think they are confident that they have one dude saying that guy's getting a rookie max. I think they have a bunch of dudes saying, like, we will talk to your agent when it's time for you to get an extension.
And I feel like that's indicative of them having lower
speed. Of them
that's,
sucking.
And that's kind of a problem.
Like, that means your core sucks, dude. That's what it means, bro. And Wizards fans...
Wizards fans, I like your team.
He defending y'all, Brand. Shout out to Will. Will a good dude, bro. But, like, your team stink, respectfully. Yeah. Your team stink, bro.
Y'all are going to draft high this year. It's going
to
be
Ranges 13 to 15?
Yeah. I don't even think
14 to 15.
Yeah, I ain't like that.
All right, man. Well... That is the podcast. That is the podcast. Appreciate you guys stopping by once again. Make sure you guys like, comment, share, subscribe. All of our links will be down below in the description. And we will see you guys next time. Right Re Podcast out.